Hey, Michael. Sorry about
yeah,
that.
No problem.
I'm not able to actually pull it off.
Okay.
So I think we've got, what, only 4 more minutes left in our little window here.
Yeah.
So I think we might have to reschedule.
Okay.
All right. But just to say, if I may,
sure,
that one of the things that inspired the what we were going to interview tonight is just how many responses we're getting to folks telling us through the campaign of what they're up to.
Oh, great.
Just how, yeah, just how fun it is and how inspired people are, and, you know, both by the raising funds for the projects that we're doing this time around, but also just by the win-win of being inspired to...
You're breaking up on me, Jen.
Okay.
You want to say that one more time?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, great. Just by the win-win of the inspiration of supporting the folks in Cantalumba while also supporting ourselves in our our fitness goals. So
yeah.
Anyway, just a real encouragement for people to continue to send in those stories, because it's really, really moving and inspiring for all of us, and for people to see them. So there's a link to them that comes out in those newsletters that are coming out weekly. With the Bridgewalk campaign. I think they come out usually on Saturdays.
Yeah, I think they're in the left-hand panel there of that email that comes out.
Yeah, yeah. So keep sending those in, keep reading them, and more soon. And to begin to sign up, you know, I know for me, I keep forgetting to sign up. So now's the time where we're really headed. We have our T-shirt design finalized, and it's a fabulous design, so really fun T-shirt. So, you know, there's kind of a tradition of many, many folks who aren't able to join us in person who sign up anyway in support of the project, even though they can't be with us, and then you get to have a T-shirt from the year. So sign-ups are beginning.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. That sounds wonderful.
It is. Yep. It's a good time.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun reading what people have written, and also, and it's just great to have the commitments on both sides, the reading and the steps. It's great.
Is that so fun?
It is very fun.
Yeah, yeah, and they're having so much fun with it on that side. I think I talked before about the dynamic of Teresa Kent has a hard time getting home at night because notice a little more. Just can't we read just a few more words?
Yes.
And there's something about it, you know. I know we've talked about this before too, but you know, I'm traveling, and so it can be tricky to get in those whatever it is, you know, 10,000 or whatever your goal is steps for the day. But I really notice what a gigantic difference it makes, and it's such a nice segue with awareness practice because
yes.
It has me always really looking at. Okay, so I've got, you know, 15 minutes in between things. And it really is so supportive to have the awareness of, oh, well, then I'm going to move the body for those 15
yes.
minutes. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
It's
like
really
15 minutes equals several thousand steps.
Exactly. Exactly. And, yeah, even though, you know, it's not about that really, what difference
yes.
does it make, how many steps you take, but it because it becomes a game and something fun and something... It's just such a perfect way to take it out of the hands of conditioning and give it back to life and enthusiasm and inspiration and fun. And, you know, I want to do it. Not I should do it, but I want to do it. It's fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Great.
So, anyway, all of that, and hopefully we'll have Judith on next week, and we'll go from there and hear more about it.
Okay. Sounds
all
great.
All right.
Thank
well,
you, Jen.
Have a great show, Michael, and thanks for your patience.
Sure. My
okay.
pleasure.
Good night.
Good night. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good, but I think Jen lost all control of her senses there. Did you hear her say it's not really about the number of steps?
Wow. Wow, is that
what?
So?
What was she thinking?
Could it be about the process?
Well, I guess. But I was smiling because, boy, she's so right about that. I'm doing an email class now,
yeah.
And which is it's a lot of hours standing in front of a computer, and so I've taken all of my practices and broken them down into. you know, I do a batch of responses, and then I do prostrations. I do a batch of responses, and then I do yoga, and then I do, you know, like that throughout the day.
Yeah.
And then part of it, of course, is getting those steps in.
Yeah.
So as she said, you know, you've got 15 minutes. Right, I'll go walk. and it does just add a level of fun and in being engaged. That for me, I mean, I don't think of myself as a particularly goal-oriented person, but I do love a project. And so having that something that, you know, I'm doing this, and it's not, if I do it, I do it, if I don't. It's not like that at all. I've committed. I'm going to do it. So it really inspires me to remember it when I have that 15 minutes before the radio show starts to go do that, because otherwise I'm going to be doing it, you know, at 10 o'clock tonight before I go to bed. So, it's great. And I actually just wrote an email to Jen earlier today because she had written to me about the little guy in Cantalumba and his grandmother. He's studying, you know, going to classes and studying to make his grandmother proud of him, and because she's raising him now that his parents are gone. And Jen said, you know, if he and his grandmother can do it, I can do it. And that's just so the kind of the bottom line for everything that we're doing. You know, if these people can do it, by golly, we can do it. And with Sangha, you know, that person, you know, those person, okay, you're pitching? Okay, I'm going to pitch.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's good. I love this time of year. It's just this coming up to the bridge walk and the enthusiasm. To me, the only other time that is like this is the first of the year. That we launch the year, you know, what we're doing for practice for the year, and we all get together for that and set our little calendar and program of what we're going to do, what we're going to participate in, and what we're committing to, and then we get to do it again kind of halfway through the year with the bridge walk. So it's good to have that inspiration a couple of times a year.
That's great. It's great to recharge.
Yeah, to recharge, exactly. Yeah, plug in again, get all fired up, and take us right up to the New Year's retreat, and then we get to start all over again.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I have some announcements here.
Oh, do you? Okay.
I do.
I knew you did.
Registration is now open for a new session of the Stop, Drop, and Text program.
Mm.
And this runs September 1st through 27th. Text a trained facilitator 3 times a day about your practice and receive a response.
Mm-hmm. Very supportive.
Oh, incredibly so. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And on August 30th, there will be a 1-day workshop with you, Sherry, and Ashwini in Dayton, Ohio.
That's
Learn
right.
how to have it all at this special
mm-hmm.
event.
Mm-hmm. On our way to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. We're going to stop in Bethlehem for just a few days on a retreat. I think that retreat is full now, though I'm not sure. And and then on to Harrisburg to see some of my favorite people in all those places. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
I'm excited.
Sign up now for the 13th annual Bridge Walk. You know, I read 13th and I thought, really? 13th?
That's not possible, is it?
The Africa Vulnerable Children Project. Support the folks in Cantalumba and join Sangha for this fun yearly event.
You know, it's no wonder those pictures those kids look like they're getting older. They are. They've gone from little, you know, just barely out of toddlerhood to teenagers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on these and all our events.
Yeah.
And also on the homepage at livingcompassion.org, as you may know, Sherry, you can now order the exciting new recording and listening game.
That would be, what universe are you creating? Zen and the Art of Recording and Listening?
Yes. Yes, indeed. You can have fun with practice and try out new techniques while playing by yourself or with friends.
Yep. I've started doing it. Got a new recorder for myself to do the game. Yeah. And it's amazing. One would think that I would know it well enough that I wouldn't enjoy playing the game, but it turns out it's not the case.
Every moment is a new moment, you're suggesting.
It is. Yeah. And it works. That's the other thing I like about it. I've tested it. It works.
Wonderful. Yep. A couple of reminders to make a show. That is to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry. Press *6 and then 1. And if you could focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes, that would be great. And let's start talking, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello? Oh, my God. Hang on. I was not expecting that at all. my name's Grace. I'm calling from the UK in Cornwall.
Well, hello there.
Hello. I'm absolutely terrified. This is the first time I've called in.
And are you at home in the UK right now?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Yeah, so you're up in the middle of the night terrified.
I am, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep after this.
just freeze for a second. It's going to be okay. Yeah. What's going on aside from trying to catch your breath?
Quite a lot, really. I've been in the dark room quite a lot, actually, this week. I've had a really, in April, I did the Making a Change for Good retreat in the back of the book around food, because I have a really big issue with food. And it's been really amazing. And all summer, I have just been really quite easily healthy and losing weight, and I've lost about 35 pounds. Mm. And also, I have had quite bad depression before, and that sort of went away when I started looking after myself and exercising and eating well. But in the last week, it's come back, the depression, and now I'm really struggling to eat well. And I'm basically just binging all the time, and I feel like I've lost the control over it. I'm still sort of being aware, but I can't fight it like I was. Yeah. Not like I was really fighting it before, but now I'm really struggling to sort of, I can hear the voices of EKC saying, oh, go on, just eat it, you know, you can sort it out another time. And I know they're there, but I just can't. I don't have the energy to fight it.
Yeah. It is good to see that clearly how truly evil they are, isn't it? There they are egging you on when you're at a low ebb, egging you on to do something that is really destructive to you. So that's good to see. Do you record and listen?
I do a bit, yeah. I've started doing it more recently, but mostly I was sort of recording other people's stuff because I found I got bored of my own recording.
Okay, yeah, okay. That's right up there with go ahead, eat it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing boring about your life, and there's certainly nothing boring about what's going on with you right now, right? I mean, you really need somebody on your side, around the clock, available to you every moment of every day, and that's what that's what the mentor can provide for you. A couple of things about it. One, I know that this is you all say it and you'll go, but it really is true. Okay, you can't panic over this. You just can't because as you've noticed, panicking is the thing that gives the voices the upper hand like nothing else does.
Yeah.
We you know, especially with depression, but with eating, with, well, with anything, any big ticket item like that that we struggle with. We get through it, and we foolishly hope it's over. All right? I put that behind me. Oh, thank God, you know. And
yeah, that's and, where I was, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And it really is foolish. I mean, you can't blame us because we're so desperate for it to be over. But it's not over. You know, it's going to come back. It's going to circle around. And all it's doing is just waiting. It's karma. Right, it's conditioning. It's just not going to say okay and go off and haunt another house. It's just not going to do it.
Yeah.
So it's just whenever we're on the upside of it, we can know that it's just laying in wait. You know, it's just there's no reason to be afraid of it, but it is important to know that it's going to come after us again, so that because one of the things it wants us to do is get into a situation that's really bad, then we come out the other side, we do that, oh, thank God, that's over, and we kind of go unconscious, which is what's setting us up for the next big takeover. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, so, and I really did feel like I was fixed, and I think that's why it's been so difficult going back into it, because I was like, oh, I'll fix that now. And I can move on and do sort out and fix other things now.
Right,
And so it's been so hard to go back into it and like, I thought I'd sorted that out. And
you did.
Yeah.
You live in a neighborhood that is where there are a lot of break-ins and robberies. It's a constant process of fixing the last break-in, you know, repairing those windows, those locks, those doors, whatever it is, and kind of anticipating where it's going to happen next, knowing it's going to, that you can't prevent it. It is going to happen. And over time, what happens, at least in my experience, is that we become less afraid and upset by it.
Right.
Because one of the things that we're learning over time is it's not that bad. It's not terminal. I do know how to deal with this. What's required is for me to wake up, get back in relationship with myself, start doing the things, stop listening to the voices, start doing the things that take care of me. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I really feel like I can sort of, I've almost gone into, I've given up sort of state. Like, it started happening a bit more. And then it's gone into this, I've just sort of given up and sort of been like, I can't do it. Or,
the thing is,
falling off the wagon.
Right. Well, the thing about it is, it wants us to give up. Because give up means we just slide farther and farther down into that pit. It's not like, you know, you're going to give up and die. It's not like you're going to give up and it's over. It wants us to give up so that it can just do what it wants with us. And then when we've hit bottom, start us through the process again, right? So, it will. When people hear, you know, why don't you just kill yourself? Why don't you, you know, those kinds of voices. And that's, we just know that's all part of it. But this is where this is the one where we bring in the big guns, okay? Imagine that this person we think of as you and that you think of as I is some dear little person, right? You right there?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to give up on her. You're not going to say, okay, take her, kill her. It doesn't matter. You know, she's not really worth it. Yeah, she is.
No.
Yeah, she's worth any effort, anything. She's worth everything. And so you're not going to give up. You're just going to do the old in awareness practice. We believe in the grabbing yourself by your bootstraps, right? And, of course, my encouragement always is to grab that recorder, start talking to the mentor, get the support for her that she needs, and... You just slog your way through it, and as you say, then you, what you get as a reward for that is the next thing to slog your way through.
That's life, and that's awareness practice. And we're really lucky because when we are in that compassionate relationship with the intelligence, with the wisdom and kindness that is embodied in the mentor, embodied kind of in quotes, but, you know, because it too is just a voice. When we're in that relationship, we don't mind cleaning up karma after karma after karma. You know, because it's when we're doing something with somebody we love, it's a happy thing. Yeah. Yeah, and I was really enjoying being in that place where I was really looking after myself. But I've just slipped into this, you know, oh, it's all ruined now, but it's not. And
no,
luckily I've got a really good awareness coach as well, and that's really helping, actually. And she said the same thing, to really get in touch with the mentor around it, which I haven't been doing, actually, but I will.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah. You know, it's got a long history of being able to defeat us, to get us into those depressed, kind of defeated, despairing places, and then just run roughshod over us. You know, it's not surprising that our first impulse is not, oh, right, I've been taken over. I need to start doing all the awareness practices that are going to turn this around. That's not our first impulse. We need a lot of assistance and support and encouragement. That's why we do this together, right?
Yeah.
Because left to ourselves, often we feel so beaten down, we feel like we can't do it. And yet you get enough people saying, yes, you can. And we go, that's right, I can. Mm-hmm. And of course, the really good part about this is you know you can. Because you did. That's huge. You know, if it's the first time, we're kind of like, are you sure? Really? Really? You're sure I can do this? But you've already done it. So you know it's just doing again what you did before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you for calling. Stay in touch, huh?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot.
All right. All right.
Thanks,
good
Michael.
Night.
Cheers.
You're welcome.
Bye.
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 Thanks for joining us, Grace. That was inspiring, Sherry, motivating.
Yeah, because, you know, whatever our issue is, it's the same answers for all of us, isn't it?
Yes.
Same series of steps, whatever it is that we're up against.
Yep, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Anna from Yorkshire in the UK.
Well, good grief. All you people are up in the middle of the night. What's going on over there?
I know.
How are you?
Oh, I'm really good, thank you. I'm back at work next week, so I thought I'll call and catch up. I'm doing the email pass at the moment.
Good.
And I'm really enjoying it. I tell you what, do you want me to give you a quick Poppy update before? Because I know you usually ask.
Yes, please.
She's not here tonight. She goes down to London quite a lot. But she finished her degree and she got a first. So we've just had a wonderful summer, you know. She's really happy. She did work really, really, really hard. And the university have offered her a scholarship to do an MA. So she's going to take it. At first she was like, no, I'm not. I'm going to go down to London. I don't want to do it. I've had enough. and then she changed her mind. So and that's going to be in creative writing. So yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
All that hard work has paid off.
Yeah, and it's like, for me, you know, as her mum, and just, you know, I mean, I've only got Poppy, and I had her when I was young. I was pregnant now. The age that she is.
Uh-huh. That's a perspective, isn't it?
That's crazy. Me and her dad, like, wow, come all this way, you know, and everything's been brilliant. Everything's been really good.
Well, congratulations, Mom.
Yeah.
And congratulations to Dad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking just to say hi, really. I'm really enjoying the email class. So as you know, I work in a college, and so I've sort of had a wonderful time over the summer. I've done loads of meditating and recording and listening and as much as I can, and I'm back at work next week. So I'm already sort of thinking about how to because when I finished in July, I almost immediately started doing everything, you know, that I love to do with practice all day, every day, and saw how I wasn't doing, you know, nearly as much of it all, you know, when I was at work. So that's sort of what I'm thinking at the moment, and how to sort of maintain that. I had started a new job role last year, so hopefully, you know, it won't be so sort of overwhelming this year.
Well, and before we go on from that topic, that's another source of of congratulations, right?
Yeah.
Because you worked really, really hard to get where you are, right?
Yeah.
In terms of education and work and all of that.
Yeah.
And it is hard when we're working. It is. There's just, you know, sometimes I think like doing the email classes, I think, how do people get anything done? You know, they're working, they're raising kids, they're, you know, they're cooking, they're cleaning, they're, you know, they're, how does anybody? And so to me, it's just a, it's a big congratulations to you that when you have the time off, that's what you do. That you want to do the things that support you. And then when you can't, it's not, no voice can tell you that it's because you don't want to, or you're just lazy, or you know it's because I'm committed to doing this other thing called my job, so I just have to squeeze in practice where I can.
And that's what I did, you know, all of this last year. But, you know, it'll be even stronger this year. It's stronger.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I always say that to you. I think whenever I phone up and I was thinking about that, I'm sure that I can just see a difference even from day to day, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what, of just being stronger or just seeing more and feeling a bit better or getting it a bit more.
Yes. And as we go that route, what begins to happen to us is we realize, well, there isn't any difference between practice and daily life. It's all one thing. Yes, I would sit more if I didn't have to work all day. You know, I would probably record and listen more if people, you know, weren't around me all the time. But every chance I get, that's what I'm going to be doing. And while those people are there and while I'm at work or whatever it is, I'm paying attention. I'm practicing. I'm coming back to whatever it is that I'm focused on, and I'm doing the work.
I'm planning. I think one of my biggest tools that I'll use will be recording and listening, because that is absolutely brilliant. So I'm gonna use that as to help me with it all.
Well, you know how much I wish everybody knew that. So the last caller, you know, with the voices want to make us believe that, well, that's boring. Not my experience, and I hear that it's so not your experience. It's like having that companion, that awareness companion with me all day long, every day. I can wake up in the middle of the night, and if there's an awareness or there's a dream or there's a I can't sleep or whatever it is, I can pick up that recorder and be in an awareness practice conversation in the middle of the night. You know, when I'm driving, when I'm walking, when I'm whatever it is, and that's the piece maybe I haven't actually been saying clearly enough. That it is an awareness practice conversation that we can be in all the time.
Yeah. I think when I first, because I've always done a lot of journaling, and a long time ago I learned about, you know, the left hand, right hand, you know, and I, you know, and this, I've done that for many years, and the recording listening is a similar thing. So at first, I would write it down, and then I'd record it, you know, and then I'd just maybe not write it down quite so formally, but more messily. And now I just record straight in, and then I listen back, and I'm figuring stuff out as I'm just, you know, talking it into the recorder, and I can hear my voice go, ooh.
Oh, I see. Got it. And after a while, it's like who's talking, who's listening? Where's the, you know, the insights are dropping in and the clarity is there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have noticed it grow, you know, definitely, and the recording listening practice change. So that's good. I've been having lots of fun with today's email class with that.
This class.
We are on the right day, aren't we? Tuesday still, yeah.
It's a great class, isn't it? I think classes are.
It's really. I'm really, really enjoying this email class. It's absolutely fantastic. I've been enjoyed all of the assignments. That they're completely brilliant. I'm having a wonderful, wonderful time. Really wonderful.
Seeing a lot of stuff,
yeah. And everybody's response is fantastic. Really, really enjoying them. And I'm recording those and putting those into my recorder as well as my own. Yeah, really wonderful.
You know, I want to go back to what you just said, that your recording and listening practice has changed, and I would say deepened. In the same way your awareness practice has changed and deepened, right?
Yeah.
So as you grow and change, it grows and changes. I just wanted to underline that as an encouragement for people who go, I don't get this. I really don't get it. I talk into a recorder and then what? But if when we stay at it, when we develop that relationship with practice and with awareness, then it builds.
Yeah, that's right. And that's how I approach almost all of it. I think ages ago when I first read, I think it was How to Get From Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. That was the first book I read of yours. And I think in there you said that you first came across something and that you didn't understand it, but it still spoke to you or something like that. And I was like that with your book. I was like, oh, don't understand this. Ankle's blue. And it's making me laugh, but I still like it. And now I can see, you know, so it's like today's email assignment, you know, the self. I mean, that's a huge one for me. And I'm like, oh, do you know, I kind of get it and I kind of really don't, but I'm just going with it. And eventually at some point, you know,
And back to recording and listening, you know, a number of people in the class say, I really don't get this. And then they record it and they just listen to it, listen to the class through the day. Yeah. And then the insights start dropping in and it quickly moves to, oh, I get it. And then, poof, you know, do the assignment is easy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So just for a number of people know this, but I know you've been doing email classes with us for years and years and years.
Yeah.
So I just want to give an acknowledgement to Ashwini, who's the mover and shaker behind the classes now. And she, of course, you know, brings all of that poetry and fanciful and all those kinds of connections and just really makes it so much broader and I think more accessible than it's ever been.
Yeah,
yeah. We owe her a debt.
I slightly missed what you said, but I loved the Alice in Wonderland quote. It's brilliant.
Yes.
And there's at the beginning of each one, there's been sort of a quote from something, hasn't there, where it's looking at it, you know, from a different perspective. So
yes, and that really is Ashwini's gift, is to bring in all of those.
I love that.
Various ways. Seeing things. Yeah. And, you know, I'm just kind of the the old straight-ahead German Zen Buddhist. Fanciful is not my long suit. I appreciate
right.
it. I just don't
yeah.
tend to see that way. And so I'm really yeah. enjoying it for myself, and I'm grateful on behalf of Sangha
right.
to have
yeah.
this.
I've loved all of those little introductory, but, you know, I've loved them. They've been wonderful, yeah.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thank you to Ashwini.
Oh, well, yeah, yes, exactly. And thank you for once again getting up in the middle of the night to talk with us.
Oh, that's okay. Me and Grace both, hey?
Yes, exactly. You guys get a meditation group going there in the middle of the night, a virtual
right.
meditation group.
Absolutely, yeah. absolutely, yeah.
All right. Take good
okay,
care.
Well, yes, lovely to talk to you. And thank you very much for everything. And thank you to Michael as well for hosting the show.
Yes,
okay.
always. Thank you. Good night.
All right. Night-night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I was going to play a sponsor ad now, and they are not visible to me on the website.
Well, heck, we'll just go right on and talk to people then, huh?
Okay, sounds like a good plan.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is Connie from Ohio.
Hello. Did you not?
I thought
you weren't going to hear unmuted, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
How are you?
I almost hung up a couple times because I didn't have anything to say, and I challenged myself to just sit it out.
Yes, I bet there's cool. a little something for us to talk about. Let me ask a good question. What's going on?
Let's see. Apparently, I'm choosing something over ending suffering.
Uh-oh.
Let's see.
And the way you know that is because you're suffering?
Well, yeah. I'm. It's very content oriented, and I don't really like to get into content, but all content is pretty much the same. But I did like when you were talking to the first caller about just getting through something and then going, ah, that's good. I got through that.
Yeah.
But That's behind me, but that what I understood you saying was that that's basically EKC self-hate just setting us up for the next one.
That's right.
That little bit of relief.
Yeah.
And so I think that I'm...
Because when we feel that relief, we this is not a good image, but we let our guard down, right? We stop paying attention. Yeah.
It's an addiction to that little bit of relief.
Yes.
Is what my thought was.
Uh-huh.
Content.
Uh-huh.
Which is, I'll just open that up and I'll just say it's about money. I don't hear people talk about that very much, but I'm sure I'm not alone.
Oh, you're not alone. Money and sex, you know, in our culture, we're obsessed with them and we don't talk about them.
Yeah, they're brave enough to talk about sex, but not money. It's interesting.
All right, let's talk about money.
Well, what started me thinking about this was when the practice update letter. And finding out that there weren't going to be retreats at the monastery next year, when I thought that I would finally have enough money to be able to go.
Uh-huh.
And so that was, you know, there was this whole little disappointing bubble burst thing happening. And I did real well, and I did actually record and listen and didn't beat myself up about, you know.
Didn't allow yourself to be beaten up.
Right. I did okay with that, but it seems like since then, since I was kind to myself around that particular thing, it seems like EKC self-hate is sneaking in and pointing out every other place in my life that I'm blowing it around something to do with money. Or
uh-huh.
not being able to do this or do that or fix this or whatever. So it's like I got through that particular one and then it just
started to bombard me everywhere.
Of course. Of course. Well, of course. That is how it operates, right? So
right.
if you have one success, it's going to try to just dump a big old load of other things until finally you just get bogged down and, you know, get to the place of I give up. So let me ask you this. What goes on with you and money?
I've been trying to be very honest about that. One of the things that keeps coming up is it's just never been that important to me.
It's not that important to you, but then you get beaten up over it.
But I get beaten up over it, and I'm at a point in life where I just barely make it from day to day. I'm very resourceful. I'm very blessed. I'm very grateful for how all that happens. It must be the way I'm living my life, and it seems to work for me better than it would work for most people. It's kind of my style, but certain things come up and taunt me, I guess. I'm very peaceful with a lot of things that I can't do. It would drive a lot of people nuts, but every once in a while, it really gets at me, and I guess it's just that it's not that important. I have a lot of things going on and to take care of. I don't earn enough money. I'm not really going after it. It's not real high on my priority list. It's just been a thing. It's been lifelong. So.
And Connie, do you feel like you're happy about that? I mean, are you happy about this life choice?
No, I'm suffering.
Okay, because can I tell you when I was about, I don't know, 45 or something like that, I looked around, and I was a religious person. You know, I've kind of been a religious person all my life. And I looked around, and everybody I knew had a really nice house, and they were all at that age buying second houses, and they had a couple of cars, and they're traveling to Europe, and they're doing this stuff, and I'm thinking, darn. And then I looked at it and said, but I don't want to have to do what they're doing. I want to do what I'm doing.
Exactly.
I want to live the way I live. I don't want to. I mean, they have to go to work at these awful jobs. Well, they'd
right.
be awful for me. I could only hope they love them and do these things that I don't want to do. So the natural result of the choices I've made is I'm not going to have all that stuff.
Right. This is it.
Yeah. But then I wouldn't get tortured. And somehow it sounds as if you're happy with the choice you've made, and yet you suffer. So I'm thinking there are a couple of folks involved in this. Right? So if we divided you down the middle, half of you is happy with the choices that you've made. I would say almost there's an element of proud, almost kind of superior?
Oh, it's as far as...
Kind of, yeah, you're not a money grubber.
Just being able to give by, I'm okay and I don't need all that?
Yeah, yeah. And then the other side that says, yeah, I do want all of that.
But I'm not willing to do what one might have to do to have it.
Yes. And it sounds like the I'm not willing to do what would be necessary to have it runs the show.
It runs the show.
Yeah, and then this other person, it just has to kind of suck it up because you're not going to get to do all of that because this is how I choose to live.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a bad marriage, isn't it?
I yes, I did a little bit of work for my ex-husband the other day. So, yes. Talk about awareness practice opportunities. So it's kind of stuck. I feel a little bit like I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah. Yeah, going back and forth. So nobody is really satisfied.
True.
Yeah.
Not lately.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that, you know, this might be a really interesting one to do some recording and listening with, because we have to. So if we do think of it as two people in a marriage, and one person says, I want to live this way, and their choice means the other person has to live this way too, and the other person is not happy with that, what we have to do if we want to save this marriage, and since both of these marriage partners are you, saving the marriage is really important, then we need to find a way for both parties to feel fulfilled, to feel understood and cared for.
Uh-huh. Be the person you want to find.
Yes, on both sides of the issue, right?
Right.
So yeah, so you need to go to Imago Therapy and take both sides of yourself there.
I'm familiar with that. That's an idea to record and listen in that vein. Huh.
Yes. Yes, because these two people need to come to an accord because they share the same body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it is unfair that one dominant aspect of the personality or karma or however we want to talk about it gets to make the decisions and call the shots and leave somebody else really unhappy and beaten up and unfulfilled and all these other things. So how about you, if you choose, take that on as your assignment and see if you can get some clarity about it, and then let's talk again.
Sounds
because
like
there has to be a way that the person who's dominant, who doesn't care about money, cannot care about money, but somebody else does. And so she should get at least half of the life. The time, the energy, the attention, the awareness to pursue what is meaningful to her. So it's figuring out how to pull that off that's going to be, I think, a fun and interesting challenge.
Boy, yes. Yep, okay. All right.
All right.
I think it's like a great idea.
Good, good. So we'll
thank
talk
you.
Soon, huh?
Thank you very much, Sherry. End of the month.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Well, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Connie. That was a fascinating conversation, Sherry.
I wonder how many folks, could really identify with that sort of split.
Yes.
Huff,
and it was fun for me
listening.
It was fun for me listening because I can identify both with the content and also the process that you're talking about where these dualities are set up internally.
Yeah.
And how to resolve them.
Yeah. Yeah, how to resolve them, how to transcend them.
Yes.
Yeah, how to become the conscious, compassionate, mentoring influence that's going to. So again, it's like having two children who are completely different personalities, and as the parent, how do we assist in meeting the needs of both of these children, because we don't get to decide, okay, well, you're the important child and you're not the important child, right? So
yeah.
it really takes some fancy footwork to get us to a place where everybody's going in the same direction.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have more callers here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. You can hear me.
Yes, who's well, this?
This is Jennifer, and it's Jennifer from New York.
Hi, Jennifer.
And it's my first time calling. Hi.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thanks. kind of killing a bunch of birds with one stone. I made a commitment to my coach that I would do the call. I would try to. And I'm also checking in because in June I did my first retreat at the monastery with you. And
good. So you're fulfilling a lot of commitments with one phone call.
Yeah.
This is good, huh? This is good. It's not so awful, is it?
No, it's not so awful.
Good. Well, tell us a little about what's going on and what you're looking at and like that.
Well, I had two ideas. I guess I'm kind of really leaning towards one topic to talk about, which has been the big, scary content that I guess I've known for years. Maybe one day I'll call and talk to you about it, but it's not what inspired my coach to say, why don't you try calling open air?
Could you speak up a little bit, Jennifer, a little louder?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sure.
Thank you.
Well, I had two ideas for topics to talk about, and my coach suggested calling to address one topic. But there's, I guess, a part of me that's really leaning towards talking about another topic, which is my big troublesome content, which I guess I've known for years. I might want to talk to you about one day when I finally get the courage.
And today would be the day?
Yeah.
Might as well, huh?
So I kind of feel like it's not so far off from what the last caller was talking about. I have all this self-hate and shame and stuff like that around the fact that I haven't been working like a normal part of the society's workforce for like 6 years, which is actually how long I've been following this practice.
How have you managed to pull that off?
I'm supported by my dad and now also my boyfriend.
Uh-huh. Generous chaps. And how do you feel about that? I mean, there's self-hate and shame. Say a little more about that.
I don't know. There's a lot of conflict, I guess. I have like a lot of issues around the fact that I've gotten like even 2 degrees now. And I guess what I was about to say was I don't do anything with them, but that's actually kind of not true. I mean, I got degrees in creative subjects, and I still pursue creative endeavors, but can't manage to live off them.
But what was the last part, Jennifer?
But I don't manage to live off them.
I see. You don't make a living from them.
Yeah.
And do you wish that you supported yourself?
I guess part of me does, yeah.
Mhm. And what does that part of you say? How does she feel?
I guess there's a belief that it would help us feel good.
Uh-huh. That you'd feel good about yourself if you supported yourself.
Yeah.
Do you feel beholden to these men? Do you feel that they have control over you because they support you?
No, I can't say I feel that.
Uh-huh. So that it's not really taking anything away from you in that sense. It's just that you would feel better about yourself if you were taking care of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually, so this summer I did some traveling. I went to the monastery. And then shortly after that, I went overseas with my boyfriend on his big yearly family trip. And I came back from these trips feeling actually inspired to look for work. And it felt really genuine and positive. And I've been on the job search now for a month. And it's been grueling. And I think I've been pretty good at taking care of myself through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's come from this place of wanting to, like I said, wanting to take care of myself. And also, I think there's a part of me that really wants to be like a valuable contribution in an organization and be of service.
Mm-hmm.
But then, kind of I guess I wonder if that's just coming from this constant, you know, a need to be important and valued, and that doesn't need to come from work. I guess there's that perspective that comes up.
But a part of you believes that that's where it comes from.
Yeah, there's definitely someone who I don't know, listens to all the beatings that and believes that we, I don't know, these ideas, these messages that convey something about our value and our self-worth because mm-hmm. of the way I live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it's part of being a grown-up, being a player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like money is not the issue, right? Because the money is taken care of. So that's not the motivation. I mean, that is the motivation for a lot of people to work. If they could have money without working, they would do it. And so is it possible, since that's not an issue for you, I mean, it's not an issue in that you have it and you don't feel bad about the way you're getting it, then...
Well, I do feel bad about the way I'm getting it.
Oh, you do?
But I guess I didn't understand that previous comment in that way.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So is it possible, okay, so that puts another light on it. I was going to ask you if it's possible for you to have that sense of participation and contribution and value doing something that doesn't necessarily generate an income.
Sorry, are you asking, is it possible?
Yeah. I mean, in other words, you could. There are a lot of people for whom money is not an issue, who have their participation and contribution through service.
Right.
And they're they're valued and appreciated and all of that because of that contribution, not a contribution for which they're necessarily given a paycheck.
Yes, right. So I think it's totally possible to be fulfilled in that way.
But it wouldn't speak to feeling bad about taking money from someone else who's earning it and you're not earning it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels important, doesn't it, to get a sense of who feels what, so that there isn't quite so much murkiness about the whole thing, kind of a slipping and sliding around, because you don't really know what players are what. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is the issue the self-esteem that comes from paying your own way? Is the issue wanting to be seen as important and valuable and that sort of thing? Is the issue wanting independence? Is the issue, what is the issue? Because as long as it kind of slips and slides around there, back and forth between those places, it's very difficult to know how to address the issue. Right? If you can't be sure what the issue is, it makes it really hard to address the issue, which,
right.
is
well,
not...
Well, I think it's primarily the first one. The problem is feeling all the shame and around not making my own money. I mean, I'm on this job search now, and I just decided recently to try out applying for these dog walking jobs, and I got really excited about this idea of working with animals, and I got to train for a few days, which after I don't know how many applications, I finally got a call back and I even got invited to train for a few days, but then I was rejected. They said because I don't have enough experience with dogs. Did you laugh?
Say what?
Sorry. I wasn't sure if that's what the sound I heard. I was wondering if you laughed at that.
Well, it's crazy. The world is crazy when it comes to stuff like that, right?
Since I was excited about the idea of working with animals, even though I was really struggling and heartbroken over this rejection, I have... also since applied to volunteer at an animal rescue center. So
yes.
I guess there's still this pursuit to fulfill those needs.
Yes. And, of course, you can volunteer, right? You can volunteer
that's
in the
cool.
meantime.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get the experience with animals that would be way above anybody's ability to train a person to. I said that sarcastically. And then you move forward. This is good, right? This is good.
Yeah, but so...
You just take steps.
There's still that drive there. That's why, to me, it looks like the issue is primarily... the shame issue of living off others and for so long and
Jennifer, there are a couple of things about that. Lose the for so long, okay? Because that is completely irrelevant. right? The reality, as far as I can see, is that you've decided at this point, it doesn't matter what happened before, that you would like to pay your own way. And so you're taking steps to find work so that you can pay your own way. And it sounds like you've added the element of finding work that you enjoy. So you like animals, you want to work around animals, work with animals, so you're pursuing that. This is the focus, okay? Not what happened before, not any of those other stories, just this is what you've gotten to now, and this is what you're pursuing.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
But all those other things, the shame, the beatings, the all of that is just designed to keep us stuck. There's no merit to it at all.
I know.
Yeah. So now you've got a beacon there in front of you. You know what you want to do, and you're on the move. So my encouragement would be lots of recordings about the excitement that you feel and what you want to do and what you're doing to move in that direction, and encouragement to the person who's doing it, and a complete loss of focus on any of the stories about 6 years or living off of other people or any of those, just no attention there whatsoever. Just to focus on, this is where we are now, this is what we've realized, this is what we're up to, yay.
Yeah.
Okay? All right, and you'll let me know, won't you?
Yeah.
Okay. That didn't sound like there was a lot of sureness to that, but I'm going to project that there was.
Well, it's just that your guidance is around recording and listening, and that was the other topic, was that I'm someone who has a lot of trouble with recording and listening, getting it.
Okay. Well, you used to, but now that you've realized it is the best friend of the person in pursuit of what she's going to do with her life, then it will become much easier for you, yeah?
I hope, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
You let me know. Okay. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jennifer. You've been listening to Open Air. And we are so blessed, Sherry. These people are so fascinating and courageous. It's wonderful.
Yes. 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 That people will get together to talk about the most intimate details of their lives so that everyone can benefit.
Yes.
It's
just guessing. So wonderful.
Yeah. Sangha rocks.
Sangha rocks.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bumper sticker moment.
Thank you,
Sherry.
Talk to you next week. Thank you, Michael. Good night.
Bye.